creating day and night, turning darkness. Prior to Jesus' ministry, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. After he fasted and prayed 40 days and nights, Jesus left his temptation filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter said that the gift of the Holy Spirit is available to those he spoke to, their children, and all who were far off. This means that you too can cry out to God to be saved and ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Cry out to him today.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
If you haven't filed your taxes yet, you will be doing so this week, or filing an extension if you live in the United States of America. Benjamin Franklin said this, "In this world, nothing can be certain except death and taxes." But how much taxes should a person pay? Certainly, there are people that believe that some people should pay quite a bit. In fact, there are certain politicians that say that the wealthy should pay their fair share. And in fact, they actually are proposing massive taxes. What does the Bible say about how much you should pay in taxes? And let me be clear, I'm not advocating not paying taxes. I'm not advocating that you stop paying taxes. The Bible does tell us to pay taxes. But the Bible does speak to every area of life, including government. The Bible does actually speak about how much governments should tax and also what governments should do for the people, because those two do correlate. The more the government does for people and the less people do for themselves, the less, the more the government will need to collect in taxes. Those go hand in hand. So we're going to look at the Bible. We're going to dive into biblical principles. And I would encourage you to read the Bible and apply it to your life, certainly. Also apply it to your family life. If you're married, apply it to your spouse. If you're not married yet, apply it to yourself as a future spouse. If you've already been married and maybe you're divorced, or maybe your spouse passed away, you're widowed or a widower, you could actually apply that to your life anyway, to your family life, and apply this to your church, apply the Bible to your church, apply it to our communities, our cities, our counties, our state, and our nation. We need to apply the Word of God to every area of life. One of the things we see when we look at the Bible, we see the principle of the tithe, and there's some controversy about this. Is the tithe still required? Is the tithe under the law? But when we look at the Bible, we do see that there was a tithe, and typically the tithe is considered to be 10%. And you look in Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him," this is Abram, "saying, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who had delivered your enemies into your hand.' And he," that is Abram, "gave him," Melchizedek, "a tithe of all." So he gave him a tithe of all, 10%. When Israel later on, after God had fulfilled or was fulfilling his promise of making Abram's descendants multiplying Abram's descendants and making it so that he would be a father of nations, and we know that not only the nation of Israel, but even many of the other Middle Eastern countries came from Abram. When we look at what God did there, the nation of Israel started looking around at other nations and seeing that other nations had a king. Israel did not have a king, and they desired a king. And they actually asked Samuel that Samuel would appoint them a king. And Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, actually warns them of what the behavior of a king would be and what that king would do. And in Samuel chapter 8, beginning of verse 11, we see, "And he said, this shall be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He shall take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen. And some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over thousands and captains over fifties. He will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest. And some will make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. He will take your male servants, your female servants, and your finest young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourself. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And so you see that Samuel shows them what this king's going to do. He's going to take some of their sons. He's going to take some of their daughters. He's going to take the best, really, and really appoint them to be his servants in his government. And he's going to take a tenth of all that they have. He's going to take a tenth. That was really going to be the tax, 10%. Now think about that, 10%. And certainly when we talk about taxes, if you look at your taxes, there are some people that pay less than 10% in taxes. But, and those people typically are the poor. There are people that really, when you get into the taxes, there are some people in this country who are wealthy that pay more, a much higher percentage in taxes. In fact, there are some people that pay taxes, federal income tax, and in some states, there's a state income tax. In fact, in most states, there's a state income tax. And then there are city taxes in certain cities also, where you're paying federal plus state plus the city tax. We also have other forms of tax that are called payroll tax, which include Medicare and Social Security. And then you also have, if you're an employee, you have unemployment tax. If you're an employer, you pay unemployment tax for yourself, even if you're an employee, and you pay unemployment tax for your employees if you have employees. But think about all the other types of taxes that we pay. We have sales tax that we pay. We have property tax that we pay. If you actually look at your water bill, now the water bill is not going to have taxes on it, but the government actually makes money on water in most cases. And so that is a form of taxation. You have a driver's license, and there's a tax for that driver's license. To register your vehicle, there's a tax for that vehicle. In fact, when you buy the vehicle, you're going to pay sales tax. And when you sell the vehicle, the person that buys that vehicle will pay sales tax. And when they sell that vehicle, if they sell that vehicle, the person that buys that vehicle from them will pay sales tax as well. And so that same vehicle can actually be taxed multiple times, multiple ways that can be taxed. Look at your power bill. Your power bill has taxes on it. And look at if you have cable TV or cell phone, that you're going to see taxes on that. And the taxes there, a lot of times you're going to see federal taxes. You're also going to see state taxes. And in some cases, you're going to see taxes for your county or your city as well. We talked about property taxes. Look at your property tax bill and look at how many different entities are receiving taxes from your property tax bill. You're going to have the county. If you live in a city, you're going to have the city. You're going to have various other agencies, water control, mosquito control, fire district. All of these, you're going to have multiple different entities that are receiving money on your tax. In fact, so many that, and they have hearings that you can go to the hearings, but if you wanted to go to all the hearings, you probably couldn't be able, most people wouldn't be able to spend that much time going to the hearings to protest taxes. You just see so many different ways. If you buy a new vehicle and you have never purchased a new vehicle in the past, in at least in the state of Florida, other states may do this as well, you're going to pay additional because you have never purchased that tax. Why does that happen? Well, it's kind of like one of the things that Bill Clinton said when he was asked why he did what he did with Monica Lewinsky. Because they can. Because they know that you're not a voter yet in most cases. In most cases, you're coming into the state, and as a part of coming into the state, you're not a voter yet, and most of the people aren't going to pay that tax. It's only a few people that pay that tax. And so even if you remember that you had to pay that tax, and you know who was responsible for you having to pay that tax, and you voted against them, that would be a very small portion of the people. And there's so many other ways that we actually pay taxes. We don't have to pay taxes to breathe, but you know, if the government could actually come up with a way to pay taxes to breathe, we probably would pay taxes to breathe. Most people that are actually employed and make a living and earn money and are productive and have increased their skills, which would result in more income, most people are actually paying far more than 10%. Some people in America are paying more than 50% in taxes. And yet there are people like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren that are saying that the rich should pay their fair share. We see biblically from 1 Samuel chapter 8 that God defines tyranny at 10%. Benjamin Franklin, at the founding of this country, around the time of that, he wrote the Poor Richard's Almanac. And in that, he said this: it would be a hard government that should tax its people 1/10 part of their income. So think about that. At the founding of this country, it was thought absurd that a government would actually collect 1/10 part of your income and require that as taxes. That was thought as unimaginable. And then you also have the Bible, God himself, defining tyranny as 10%. We're going to look at some other biblical principles, and we're going to go right to the Ten Commandments. Why the Ten Commandments? Because the Bible really does speak and lay out in the Ten Commandments some principles that are pertinent here, particularly the Eighth Commandment: thou shalt not steal. Now, you might say, well, how is taxation stealing? Certainly, there is a portion we should pay taxes for some things. One of the things that can happen, you think about this. If you or me, if you or I were to go up to an ATM, or to a bank, and we were to rob that bank, and we were to take that money and we were to give it to people who were poor, we would be caught probably before we could even give it to those people. We would be caught, we would be arrested, and we would be put into jail, and rightfully so. We should be arrested. It should be theft. Theft should actually result in prosecution. Now, it's not really prosecuted like it should be. We've talked about that. You can read the Bible and see what should happen to people when they steal. And it's not actually putting them in jail. Certainly, they could be put in jail for a short period of time. But really, you see restitution, not just single restitution, but you see at least at a minimum double restitution, sometimes up to seven times restitution for certain types of things. If the government, however, comes to you or to me or to someone else and takes money from us and then takes that money and gives it to someone else, the government's not stealing. But really they are. It's the same principle. God does not authorize, I defy you to find an example where God is in the Bible, where God authorizes the government to take money from some people through taxation and give it to other people. I will tell you that there's only one example of that in the Bible, and that was at a very difficult time, a time where really Israel and other countries would have died if God hadn't raised up a mighty man, a man of valor who was sold as a slave and imprisoned falsely, and then rose to lead the nation of Egypt when he correctly interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And Egypt, if you look at that, even that one example, you look at what happened in that. The Egyptians started out as free people and actually ended up in the end as slaves to Pharaoh, having no land, no possessions, no cattle, no ability except for to work so that they could actually keep a portion of that and give a portion to Pharaoh in taxation. And so that's the only time in the Bible that you will see ever that there was an example where it was authorized. And really, again, even with someone as wise as Joseph operating there, you still see the enslavement of the people as a result. If it's wrong for me to rob a bank and give the money to the poor, it should be wrong for the government to collect money in taxes that they give to the poor. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't care about the poor, but the Bible doesn't authorize the government actually giving resources. Even in the case of Joseph and Pharaoh, you didn't have people actually getting the food for free. They had to pay for the food, and that's why they became slaves in the end. The Bible never authorizes the government taking money from some people and giving it to other people. Even, by the way, if those people who they're taking it from are wealthy, even if they're billionaires. And one of the things that's interesting, some of the people that are saying this, including Bernie Sanders, when he first started saying this, he was talking about millionaires. But he has had a problem. $1 million isn't a lot of money anymore. And really, because of inflation and the devaluation of our dollars, which also is theft. But because of that, and really because he himself is now a millionaire, he's now focusing on billionaires and saying, hey, the government, you know, these people should pay their fair share. But it's, and really what he wants to do is take money from the rich and give it to the poor. Now, what happens when the government actually takes money from you? Well, they're taking a portion of your life because it took you a certain amount of time to earn that money. And certainly there are some things that we can do and some ways that we can make money that aren't directly equating to time, but still there's something that we have to do to get that, and that does require time. And so really when someone steals from you, they are stealing part of your life. And so the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, is also pertinent here. But the really big commandment, in addition to the eighth and the sixth, is the tenth commandment. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And so when we see this talk, and when we hear this talk, that the rich should pay their fair share so that we can tax the rich to actually take the money from the rich and give it to the poor, what we're actually seeing is that idea is an idea that is rooted in coveting, being envious of those who are wealthy, being envious of those who are successful. And certainly there are some people that are wealthy because of being evil. There are some people that are wealthy because they have actually practiced wickedness and they have stolen and robbed. And that's not something that is justified. But most of the people that are wealthy because they have actually created a product or a service that people want and are willing to pay for. And really, what they're doing in their business actually benefits people. If it didn't, people wouldn't value it, people wouldn't buy it, people wouldn't pay for it, and those people wouldn't be wealthy. And certainly, we can look at some of those that are wealthy, and certainly if you don't follow God's commandments and his principles, you might be tempted to covet what Mark Zuckerberg has, or what Elon Musk has, or what someone else has. You might want that for yourself. But God says that we're not supposed to covet. We're not supposed to covet what someone else has. I remember even growing up and seeing a nice sports car and mentioning it to my dad. And my dad, I asked my dad, wouldn't you like to have that car? And he said, no, that is his car. I'm not supposed to covet. And so even looking and seeing, I'm sure that he would have loved to have a sports car. But to look and say, I want that car, he wouldn't go there because that was coveting. It was violating God's commandments. Yet there's a whole political philosophy that is based on this principle of coveting, of taking from some and giving it to others. Now, I mentioned that this doesn't mean that we don't care about the poor. The Bible has a lot to say about the poor. And in fact, there's biblical principles of caring for the poor. And those principles do include charity. But even when they include charity, they also include the person that is able-bodied and capable of working, actually working. Even the charity required the people who were capable of working to work. They were told, for instance, not to reap the corners of their fields. They were told not to go back and reap again. Why? Because the people that were poor could come and reap the corners. The people that were poor could come and reap what was left after the harvest had been gathered in. And that was allowable. It was legal for them to do so. But that actually required them to get up and do work. Today, we have some people who are able-bodied, who are capable, who aren't working, and that's a violation of God's commandments. We are told that we need to be productive, that we need to actually be diligent, that the diligent will rule. Read Proverbs. We need to look at the Bible and adopt biblical principles. But we also see, when we think about this idea of taxation, one thing we need to come to grips with is that the more the government does for you, the more the government will require of you in taxes. The more services they provide, the more money they provide, the more benefits they provide, the more you will have to pay in taxes. And even many people who actually protest taxes, and many people who would consider themselves to be anti-tax or at least want a very low tax rate, many of those same people still want the government to actually do certain things for them. And certainly there are some things that the government should do. We don't really have time to get into all of those today, but read the Bible and see what God authorizes the government to do and what he doesn't authorize the government to do. And I think you'll be surprised. Most of what the government does for us is, first of all, things that we could do for ourselves, and secondly, things that they are not authorized by God. Certainly, many of the things that the federal government does, they're not authorized by the Constitution either. And certainly, we should do more for ourselves. We need to be actually independent. We need to also work diligently and spend less than what we have so that we can have extra money to help out the poor. And we need to actually demand less of the government, not more from the government. And in doing so, we could actually call for this nation to reduce the taxation rate and to reduce simultaneously the services that they are providing for the people. This is biblical. It's something that God requires. It's something that if we're going to follow God's standards, we will be able to actually be prosperous and be blessed in this nation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Both now, Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the isles are glad.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com where you can give us feedback and give us a
Prior to Jesus' ministry, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. After he fasted and prayed 40 days and nights, Jesus left his temptation filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter said that the gift of the Holy Spirit is available to those he spoke to, their children, and all who were far off. This means that you too can cry out to God to be saved and ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Cry out to him today.
Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton of Just a Voice Radio Ministry, broadcasting here on WCNO 89.9, Saturdays, 5 a.m. and p.m. Come on and join us. Hope to see you there.
Hello, this is Pastor Chaco Varghese, inviting you to listen to Word of Eternal Life every Monday at 5:30 a.m. to learn more about God's plan of eternal life through Jesus Christ here at WCNO 89.9 FM.
I'm Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.